الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين صدق الله العظيم. Around the 6th year of the Hijrat, was the Sulah at Hudaybiyah. The terms and conditions were all signed by both parties, by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, and on the other end, the Kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. So with this treaty that was signed, the communications had opened out. Those people that were misled and misinformed, then they had an opportunity to see Islam firsthand, to come to Makkah Mukarramah or to come to Medina Munawwara and see for themselves what Islam has to offer. And from that point, it is the 6th, till just approximately 1.5 years later, that is the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, the Muslim numbers had swelled from 1,000 to 10,000. Communications had opened, people had seen Islam firsthand, they understood it, there was dialogue, there were discussions, they seen it for themselves, so there was no ambiguity left. Nabi Sam began to send letters to emissaries and kings, nobles, Hercules, Najashi, Negus, etc., etc. Letters were sent to these people around this period. Hazrat Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu, he came with a delegation, approximately 15 people, resided in Medina Munawwara. And perhaps they also wanted to see Islam firsthand. They accepted Islam, and one way to learn Islam was to live in the place and do it remote control. But they felt that Islam has got different branches, and we need to see Islam firsthand, directly from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Kiram. So we feel very much more clear, we are convinced, and there is no doubt left in our minds thereafter. So an entire delegation of approximately 15 people come from his tribe, Hazrat Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu. And he's giving the entire description of this meeting, coming to Medina. And we had not seen Nabi Sam in his residence. Perhaps he was gone for some work. That Aisha radiallahu anha was around, so perhaps behind the screen she had heard that this delegation has come. Whatever hospitality she had to extend, she extended. The Arabic word is hazira, and that hazira refers to some type of a cereal, like how we have halim, grains with some meat, eat. So some type of a cereal she offered them, obviously behind a screen. And then After that, she offered some dates, whatever else was available, she made it available to them. So they're seeing Islam and they're seeing it firsthand. Nabi Sam, just a few moments had passed, Nabi Sam was there. And the first thing he asked, Asabtum Shayan, did you have something to eat? So you see the hospitality, the warmth, the love, the muhabbat of Islam. Did you have something to eat? Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, he is amongst the greatest of the Jewish ulama. Banu Qaynuqa is coming from. And he gives a report of the first encounter with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come and he heard about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came to offer his respect. But the first encounter, explains that the first things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought about was Afshu Salam wa Atimu Ta'am, make salam and feed. So Islam is a religion of warmth, of muhabbat, of showing how to live as brothers, as friends, with muhabbat, with the clarity of the heart. How do we live? That's what Islam is all about. Look at the first teachings of Islam. Afshu salam, at'imu ta'am, sirul arham. First, he says, awwalu shay'in sami'tuhu. The first thing that I've heard. Make salam, feed, and join up relatives, etc. Now, many of these features and many of these qualities were existent in the Muslims in the past. So, if we trace our past, say 25, 30 years ago, if any traveler had to come around, then there'll be a fight. This person will say, no, I'll take him to my home, and the next businessman will say, I'll take him to my home, and the third one will say, I'll take him to my home. And they will really, sincerely, they will offer that hospitality. Now, the condition is a little bit changed. So if the person comes, we know he's coming from abroad, so we'll show the hospitality, but in a different way. You sure you're not going to have anything? So we're trying to show and camouflage some type of hospitality, but in a negative way. So the person says, no, Jazakallah, I had something. He won't receive, he won't accept your hospitality. He knows what you are going through. That is why the Quran Sharif impresses, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah Ta'ala and obey His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the obedience of Allah Ta'ala can only be complete with the obedience of Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If there is no obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you are wasting time, ting time. There is no obedience to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala Himself is saying that you obey my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I say, how is it ever possible to obey Allah Ta'ala without obeying Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Just look at one case, namaz, right? So all the Quran Sharif says, Aqeemu Salah, established regular namaz. But what is supposed to be read when you stand up for namaz? What is supposed to be read? Quran Sharif doesn't say, how you start off your namaz? Do you make your niyat? Do you read Allahu Akbar? Do you read the sana after that? Do you read Surah Fatiha? Do you read a surah? What is supposed to be read? The Quran Sharif doesn't tell you anything. Then the Quran Sharif doesn't say you that immediately after the standing position go into the ruku. Now how are you to perform that namaz? There is no illustration. The broad principles are explained in the Quran. But the details will have to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to understand the details of the Quran Sharif. Otherwise you will not know it. Then what is supposed to be recited in the ruku, what is supposed to be read in the sajda, you can't explain that. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will definitely have to refer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then, when is the time of namaz commencing, when is it ending? Is there any specific or clear injunction in the Quran Sharif that this is the time that the namaz starts off, this is the time the namaz ends? Then, what are those factors that will invalidate the wuzu, break the wuzu? What are those factors that will invalidate the namaz? All that detail will be by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So without obeying Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're not going to obey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then you look at zakat. Zakat, the same thing applies in zakat as well. You want to give zakat, but you do not know what's the threshold for being eligible to pay out zakat, then there must be a threshold, what we say nisab, right? Then what percentage of zakat you have to give, there is no detail in the Quran Sharif. Again, you have to refer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you're not following Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're wasting your time. You can't get to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without going through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You have to go through him. Then again, if you look at business, then all the Quran Sharif says, لَا تَأَكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاصِلِ, that don't eat your wealth amongst yourselves unjustly. Do business, do it fair, do it right, do it correctly. You will deal with the person like how you will want to be dealt. You will not squeeze the person and take the maximum from him and give him the least that you can give. You will not do that. Now, what will amount to a sale being invalid and valid? That again you have to go to Nabi Sallam, Ya Rasulullah, we are doing this business in this manner, Is it a valid sale or not? Is it a valid sale or is it an invalid sale? Before Nabi Sallam had come to Medina Munawara, the practice of the people of Medina was that I will take the maximum from the client. It's measure or its weight, but I will try and extort the maximum from him. And when I need to pay him, I'll squeeze him. Terms, squeal over the price, fight with the person, I will drag the person, I will do all this. So this was the standard in Medina Munawara before Nabi Sallam had come in. Nabi Sallam had come in, and the verse of the Quran, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. So this verse was revealed. Destruction, ruin to those people. When they have to exact rights from people, they will take it in full. But when they have to give the rights of people, they will squeeze. They will not give as they require to be giving. Now, it's one point that we need to understand, that the giver is Allah Ta'ala. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Allah Ta'ala gives. But if you have the heart to be fair and honest, to do it correctly, conform with the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with confidence in him, that it's my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that is guiding me and I must do it like this, I will assure you, inshallah, there will be barakah in it. Just today, one person came to me. He said, Mona, you've been speaking about interest and not dragging the creditors and all that, right? So we are deliberating whether it's right what you're saying, not. Then just 5 months before Ramadan, we agreed now, you know, we're not going to do it at all. No facility, although he's doing a big business, big time business he's doing. But we deliberated, we came to a conclusion, we're not going to get into this again. We're going to see to it that we'll pay our creditors promptly. Our workers, we'll treat them with respect. If there's a woman that comes in, then we will not take lustful glances, whether it's a secretary, whether it's a worker, we will not do anything like this. So before Ramadan, about 6 months before that, we had resolved, and we were committed to this. You see, it's for the first time we're practicing business, you know, for 30, 40 years, but the first time we are seeing 40% more. Now where did this come from? I say your intention. Intention was right, you were honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you committed yourself, and Allah ta'ala turned things around. He says, we're doing the same business, we're not doing more advertising or anything else, nothing. Like we were doing business 40 years ago, we're doing the business the same. We just corrected the whole outlook, we put some conformity to the teaching of the Nabi, and we just saw a remarkable turnover. 40% we've seen just in this few months. So the giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for us now to see, is there the conformity or not. The first verse in the Quran Sharif says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. So it is the promise of Nabi Sallam that you will get the barakah. Do like I say, and the barakah will come. So do we have that yaqeen in the unseen? The Nabi Sallam said this. We are seeing that, well, you know, if I'm going to do interest, I'm going to get more. And I'm going to let go that interest, I'll get less. That's what my eyes is saying. I will give sadaqah, then I'm giving out without any return. And if I'm going to take interest, then I'm going to get something without paying. I'm not paying the person, but I'm getting something for free. So it's working in reverse. Allah Pak is saying, no, I'm going to destroy this. Riba, interest, I'm going to destroy. And sadaqah, I'm going to increase. I'm going to give the growth. So you will, do we believe in what Allah Ta'ala's Nabi says, or do we believe in our own eyes? So the broad principles of our business was given in the Quran Sharif, and the details are given in the Hadith. When this verse was revealed, then the people of Medina Mura, their business became proverbial. Now they say, you know, if you want to do good business with any person from the people of Medina Munawwara, they will make sure that they give you something more than what they had agreed upon. Even to the extent if they're selling gold to you, they'll see that there must be a gram or 2 grams more than what was agreed. You agree on a price, but you will give 1 gram or 2 grams more than what you had agreed. From the time of Nabi Sallam till this day, you won't find a change in that. So the respect and the conviction that you have, that Nabi Sallam's words, we respect it, we go by it, Allah Ta'ala will make things work. So we learn the word of Allah Ta'ala through Nabi Sallam. But then, Hazrat Nabi Sallam, who do we learn Nabi Sallam from? Obviously there is a chain. We are learning Allah Ta'ala from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can't learn him directly. We can't get to understand Allah Ta'ala directly. So we'll have to go through a medium. Though the people that Nabi Sallam was talking to were all Arabic speaking. They were in fact doctorates in Arabic. If you look at Abu Jahl, his kalam, his poetry, etc., or Abu Lahab, we'll find it's like above doctorate. That was the level of the language. But anybody that wanted to know the Quran, he had to go through Nabi Sallam. Though they were Arabic speaking, though they were masters of the language, and Allah Pak says it clearly, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. You are going to explain it to people. You will explain my message to people. They will not be able to understand it directly. You will have to explain it. Then you go on. Now it is the wording of Nabi Sallam. How do we get to understand Nabi Sallam? Alright, it was the Sahaba, it was the Quran. We learned it through Nabi Sallam. Now it is Nabi Sallam. How do we learn Nabi Sallam? We learn Nabi Sallam through the Sahaba Kiram. We look at their teachings, their lives. Thereafter, those people that conform to the Sahaba Kiram, we will listen to them. We look into their statements, we look into the explanation, because they have seen the Sahaba Kiram and they understood. You know, I was explaining this concept. Just as an example, right? Say a cold drink company is selling. Coca-Cola is selling, right? So you buying Coca-Cola, you're so wealthy, you're buying Coca-Cola international. But they gave you the ingredients. I ask you, if they gave you the ingredients, you don't know the proportion, and you don't know how to prepare this, will you get the flavor? You may try whatever you want, you got the ingredients, but you do not know in what proportions and how the preparation goes. Will you be able to get that type of flavor? You will not get the flavor. So there is a preparation. Right. There is a procedure, there is a preparation, there is that type of, that proportion that you will put that type of ingredient to get that type of flavor. You're not going to follow it, you're not going to get that flavor. And you're not going to get that flavor, you cannot market the product. So the same with Islam, one is the ingredient of Islam, and one is the flavor of Islam. We may say and boast that I got the ingredient, I've learned it through books, etc. Right? But the flavor of Islam, do we acquire the flavor? Now, in the day of the Sahaba Ikram, they learned the flavor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? And after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people that followed, they learned the flavor from the Sahaba Ikram. So they got any problems, they would refer to Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, I've got a problem. So these people have learned it directly from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so they would go and refer to them. Even the Sahaba Ikram, at many occasions, they had to. One woman, Umm Ma'bad, hadith appears in Bukhari Sharif. So she comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I could not manage the Hajj with you this year. Hajjatul Wida, I could not manage. I had some excuse, etc. Now, is there any way that I can compensate for this? Obviously, now, the Hajj and with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so, is there any compensation? So, Rasulullah explained to her, Umratun fi Ramadan ka hajjatim ma'i. Umrah done in the month of Ramadan is like doing hajj with me. Now, if we don't learn the explanation of the Sahaba Kiram, take the hadith direct, right? We didn't try to find out the explanation of the Sahaba. We took the hadith direct and tried to analyze and explain it. Then what would happen? What would the outcome be? The outcome would be, now someone wants to make Hajj. Say, no, what you do? You go and make Umrah in the month of Ramadan, you'll get the Hajj Sawab. And not just the Hajj Sawab, but the Hajj with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What else you want? Don't you want a Hajj Sawab? And the Hajj Sawab performed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If for instance, this day, if we learn, right, Hazrat Nabi Sallam will be in the Hajj, right? Hazrat Nabi Sallam himself will be in Hajj, and you will see him at this places, right? And he will be open for everybody to view. Everybody will be able to see. I think the Arab Sheikh will be choked. There will be hundreds of millions of people wanting to do the Hajj. So they have to learn it from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umratun fi Ramadan ka hajjati ma'id, what he meant? What he meant was that this is the sawab that you will get, but you will not be absolved of the obligation. So Nabi Sam will have to be learned from the Sahaba Kiram. The Sahaba Kiram will give this type of explanation, that this is what is meant, that you will get that sawab. But talk about the obligation is an independent thing. Some times back, I was sitting in Etikaf, Swingo Beach. So one person came in, very humble, very good person, nice person. Outwardly looks nice, humble person. So he says to me, you know what, I'm going for Hajj. No, I'm going for Umrah. And I'll be there for approximately 3 weeks, 21 days, 22 days, I'll be there. And you know, I've got a backlog of qazas. Now, I knew exactly when he said backlog of qaza, what this man is referring to, I understood. So I've got a backlog of qazas, a couple of good years, you see. Now, I thought to myself, now I need to cover for all the qazas that I made. In the meanwhile, I've heard that one namaz done in the Haram Sharif multiplied by 100,000. So I knew what he was going to say. Business, big businessman, and he's talking business. One namaz, 100,000. So I'll square all the namazes. So I told him in a light, very light-hearted way, I told him, Chacha, you know what? You will not only knock off all the past qazas, all the future namaz of your entire life will finish. Because imagine 21 days multiplied by 100,000 each namaz, how much you get? A couple of millions, isn't it? So you not only will knock out all the past, you will knock out all the future as well. So then I have to explain to him, you see, the virtue is a different thing, and an obligation is a different thing. By acquiring the virtue, you haven't fulfilled the obligation. You still have to fulfill the obligation. Now you see how important it is to get the hadith from the Sahaba Kiram. Now, it's so nice, you feel so clear, and you have no ambiguity in your mind. But without this, now there's an ambiguity, you are in doubt, you don't know what they are referring to. Is it right? Have I understood it correctly or not? So we're talking about Laqit ibn Sabira, radiallahu anhu, and he's coming out, coming into Medina Munawara. He wants to learn Islam directly from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sit there in the company, understand it from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba Kiram, how do we conduct business? How do we perform namaz? When does Fajr namaz time set in? When does Isha namaz end? What is supposed to be read in Fajr namaz? What surah supposed to be read at Isha namaz? So all the details will go directly and learn it from the guidance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, we came here and Aisha had offered some things, we ate. And then Nabi Sam had come in and Nabi Sam had asked us first, have we had anything to eat? Yes. Just then we were around there, and as we were around, he says, the shepherd that was grazing the goats of Nabi Sam had returned it to the camps. Right? So as he's returning it to the pen, Nabi Sam asked him, Ma wallatta ya fulan? You know, your one goat was expecting, so what did you deliver? One or two, what did you deliver? I delivered one. So, Nabi Sam is telling him, alright, isbah makanaha shatan. In place of the one that you have just delivered today, you, what you will do, you will slaughter one goat. Because one goat is born, so in place of that you will slaughter one. And then he turned towards us, this whole delegation, he says to us, you don't think that we have cut this goat only for you, but it's our style. We have got 100 goats, we don't want it to exceed 100. We just want to keep the restore the number, we don't want it to exceed. Now we learn two lessons from this. One lesson that we learn from this, see now we're learning directly from the Vishnu. How many of us have got that type of mentality? I got 10 million plus enough. I don't want that thing to go past that. See what he's saying? I've got 100 goats and I don't want to go past that mark of 100. If one is born, we'll slaughter it straight. We'll slaughter one in place of this. So we just want it to remain at 100. Can anyone of us say that we have got that type of a mindset that, alright, my target is 10 million and after that I'm secure? If anything goes above 10 million, then I'll give out in sadaqah. Anybody? You see that conformity with the Vishasam. 100, and 100 is enough for us to keep ourselves secure for our mehman, guests, etc. Any event we've got. So to give away something, it's easy. But the second thing we also learn from this, same hadith, is when Nabi Sam told him, La tahsiban, don't think we slaughtered this for you. Min ajlika zabahnaha, don't think we slaughtered this for you. But this is our style that if it exceeds 100, we slaughter one on in place of the one that we just gained. So the second thing that we learn is Nabi Sam was making these delegation comfortable. See, it's a delegation. So when a delegation comes, it's a high profile. It's a nation or a town or a country, and they're sending in their delegation. So what is a delegation? A delegation is a high profile, understanding, wealthy, understanding, influential. That type of people are sent to dialogue and to see. So they will represent the entire community. Now, if Nabi Sam made it appear as though he's slaughtering the goat only for them, then they will feel difficult to remain here. Now, Nabi Sam is making so much, he's going out of his way to extend the hospitality, so we'll find it a little bit difficult. So they will curtail their stay. So Nabi Sam made them feel comfortable that we haven't slaughtered this just for you. This is our style. So why did he make it easier for them? It's because they need to learn deen. So the more they will stay, they will understand, alright, how zakat is paid, how namaz is performed, how azan is called, our roza is kept. They learn everything. The whole works of Islam will come to them in one glance. One glance, they've got the whole picture. So that can happen if they are settled, if they are easy, they're feeling relaxed, then their minds will open out. But if they're not feeling relaxed, say, hey, what the man is doing for us, you know, then they'll feel a little bit cumbersome that he's going out of his way, so much he's doing. So if they had to stay, say, 20 days, now they'll make it 10 days. And the process, they will not learn what they're supposed to be learning. They will not gain what they're supposed to be gaining. Anyway, now this Laqit ibn Sabira, he says, now my heart is opened out to the man. He's so warm, so loving, so caring, so compassionate, that my heart just opened out. When my heart opened out, so I complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, inna li imra'atan, wafi lisaniha shay'un. You know, I got a wife, and she's got a little bit of a loose tongue. Bak-bak bohat karti hai, bohat bakwas karti hai. I tell you one thing, she'll have me ten things. So I got a wife, and she makes too much of bakwas. You know, bak-bak bohat karti hai. Now, when he complained about his wife, so Nabi Sam's immediate response was, فَتَلِّقْهَا إِذَن. Then what do you do? You divorce her. He said, no, I got shaken up. He said, Rasulullah, إِنِّي أُحِبُّهَا وَلِي مِنْهَا وَلَدٌ. No, I love her. And I got children from her. Now, the question is, why did Nabi Sam respond immediately, divorce her? See, Nabi Sam is talking to a delegation, like I explained earlier on. So it's an understanding class. They understand things very quickly. So he brought him right to the end. In that first sentence, he brought him right to the end. He said, but if you're not going to appreciate this girl, yeah, what's going to happen? You will divorce her. When you divorce her, your heart is too attached. When it's too attached, then only you will appreciate your wife. So now if you want to appreciate your wife, just imagine for a moment that she's not around. Will you be able to continue? Now you carry on like a Tarzan, powerful, mighty, strong. But your wife is not around. You are like the Tarzan, right? Now you're like a rat now. Can't go into your house now. You don't know what to do. We must start off what not to do, what to do, what not to do. Do you feel comfortable? Will you feel relaxed? Many of my young friends, you know, when their wives have to go for 4 hours, etc. So I say, how are you sleeping? He say, you can't sleep for her. I said, just now you had been with her and you've been sleeping so well. Now she came in, you can't sleep. What's wrong with you? So that attachment, Allah creates such an attachment, such a bond, that you don't want to think about the day that you will separate. You don't even think about that. That attachment, that bond is such. And the man will say, Allah may take me before her. That attachment, who creates that attachment? Allah creates that attachment. So now, when Nabi Sallam brought him to this point, he understood what is the value of a wife. One person complained, Rahmatullahi, okay, you know, my wife, she always gives it to me. So Musa used to make sabr, just overlook the faults and all that. So he carried on in this style, carried on making sabr, etc. One day he couldn't hold it any longer. So as his wife is giving it, he's coming to the house, the wife is giving him something. Some story that, yeah, I told you to get that bread, you didn't get the bread. What's wrong with you? Good for nothing. He did so many other favors that it was all right, but he couldn't get the bread one day, good for nothing. So, and she complained about the husband, you're good for nothing. So he raised up his hands, Ya Allah, Ya to, me mar jau. Ya to, me mar jau. Either I die. She picked up that veil and, you know, you say, either I die, either or, right? So either I die, and she picked up the veil and she says, or. She says, Ya to me mar jau, Ya to phir me hi mar jau. Either I die or I die. So you only understand and appreciate them when they're not around. When they're around, you take it for granted. But when they're not around, they say, you know. I tell my younger friends, a little bit short fuse, you know. I say, bhai, you appreciate the wife only for the fact that because she's around, your iman is safe. If she's not around, your mind will go in all haram places. Allah Pak has made our Muslim woman such that you leave them at home, inshallah, maybe out of 100, all 100, their minds will not go in any haram. But can you show me more than 5 men, right, who can say that if the wife is not around, the minds won't float around? Maybe they don't do the haram, but the mind is floating somewhere here, they, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. Right? The mind is floating around. But, you know, Qurban jai hamari Musliman auraton ke upar. A Muslim woman is so pure and chaste. Their minds don't go. They can't even think about it. They can't even imagine this thing. They're so pure and clean. So anyway, when he complained, so Rabbi Sam then told him, alright, فَإِذْهَا إِذَا. Now he understood now the value of a wife. Because one way is to give a detailed explanation. But if it's an intelligent person, he doesn't want a big bayan. He wants you to give an advice, bring me to the end very quickly. So he understood it. What Nabi Sam was saying, he understood. So he says, Nabi Sam explains to him, then, فَإِذْهَا إِذَن, then try and give us some nasihat. Make some talim in the home, fazaila amal, fazaila sadaqat, best is ever, Siratul Mustafa, all these kitabs that we get from Buzughan al-Din. One day you got fazaila amal, one day you got fazaila sadaqat, Jummah you got fazaila durud, then you got Siratul Mustafa. This kitab, I feel presently, is not just an optional thing, it's an obligatory thing. Because if in the absence of the kitab, what is going to shape your mind? The shaping of the mind will be the newspaper, media, television, video, WhatsApp. Right? That's going to shape your mind. The type of circle that you live with, the people that you socialize and interact, they're going to shape your mind. You'll think like that. You really think money, money, money. And your mind is not going to go in the akhirah. I'll have to also live in the grave one day. So you're reading these kitabs here, best is ever, or Fazail, One is a great king, Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, then you're getting a very great Buzruk, Hazrat Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, both very great in the places. As though they lived Islam and they died Islam. As though every nerve and pore of theirs was Islam, pulsating just Islam. So we've seen their lives, we understood them, we appreciate them. Then when we appreciate them, then inshallah whatever they have written will not mislead. It will direct you correctly. It will teach you some understanding, some values. You get on true line. Otherwise, if there's no talim in the home, every day there's no talim, then today they're going to talk about going to the mall, tomorrow in the hall. The time is going to be wasted in this manner. You know, I was talking to some students, 23 years of age, I was asking them. I asked you, just confidentially, I'm asking them, that say these malls that you go to, right? Say, for example, there were no women at all. It's a men's zone, complete men's zone. No woman, no small, no middle-aged, no adult woman, absolutely no woman. What percentage of that mall will go down? It's about 50%. 50%. That's all right. If there's no lights, you know, the bright lights, the presentation, right? And the music, the presentation, and the lights, then said, hey, then you're wasting time in the mall. You'd rather not go there. So what are you going for then? Going for the music, going for the woman. You're going for the lights, presentation. Right? Now then that becomes a culture. To make the talim, say, I don't have time. But to spend 2 hours in the mall, I find all the time. Say, no, it's too less time. I need to spend more time. So the whole mindset will turn. Our thinking will go off. This talim will bring us, alright, from the resources to the ways of the Sahaba Kiram, put us online. But that has to be done every day. Jannat is not only for the men. If it is for us, it is for our women as well. They must also shape up. They must get the flavor of Islam. So Nabi Sallam is admonishing this Sahaba, Laqib, that you must advise her. Now, advice, in our terminology, will be Kitab. So the Kitab is teaching the person, all right, this was Nabi Sallam, this was his contribution, this was Sahaba Kiram, this was their contribution, this is what they did, this is how they suffered for Islam, they held on to Islam. So it picks up your morale, it gives you a direction. Anyway, that finished now, the woman's story finished. After the woman's story finished, so he wanted some additional advice. So Nabi Sallam told him, Azbighil wudu. You do your wudu and do it correctly. Okay, don't do it haphazardly. See, the wudu is the key to namaz. So if the wudu is done right, not wasting water, not talking of worldly things, reciting the respective du'as at the beginning, at the end, right? Doing all the mustahabbat. I was explaining to the students, one namaz that is performed with miswak is multiplied 70 times. Right? The Jummah namaz, if you make the right type of preparation, you had a ghusl, put attar, put good clothing, then you came on foot, and you came near the imam, and in the masjid you respected you respected the masjid, you listened attentively, you didn't talk, didn't get into any type of gossip, etc., any love. Then for every step that you are taking from home to the masjid, 1 year's nafal, 1 year's tahajjud, 1 year's roza. 1 year's tahajjud and 1 year's roza. So I was wondering, this is such a big sawab. Why is it so much? One namaz, you're doing ordinary miswak 70 times. This one year, you're taking some additional measures, and the sawab is getting multiplied. 1 year tahajjud and 1 year roza for every step that you are taking. And these two hadiths are about the most authentic hadith in the fazail. In the virtues of deeds, these two hadiths are most authentic. So nobody can say a zayf hadith, because it's the most authentic. So Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi, commentator of the hadith, he says, the reason is that the reward is being multiplied because you are taking so much of pains to doing, so much care, so much precaution, so much attention you are paying to it. So the reward is getting multiplied. When I explain this concept to the student, I still don't see. One is, a person bought the steak, but he doesn't know how to prepare it. Right? Put 1 kilo of steak, so he put 1 kilo of salt. So he spoiled the whole thing, right? So he got all the best food, but he spoiled it. And one is, the person is doing just 2-3 dishes, but he did very well. Like how Mangera Bhai's house, we had today, just 2 dishes, but two, it was. I had not to give a bayan, I would have another 2 plates. I felt so good about it, right? Felt so nice. I suppose muhabbat, love, ikhlas, that also adds to the whole thing, right? But now, this was two dishes, but it was excellently prepared. And this one has 20 dishes, it's all spoiled. Right? So what are you going to attach a price to? The two that was prepared very well. The two, but it's prepared too well. In the presence of Allah Ta'ala also, the ibadat is done a little bit less. But with all the type of pain, the respect that you showed, you came to the masjid, went to the masjid with wuzu, you did miswak, you sat with respect, you listened to the imam, all the attention. Now that reward of yours is just getting multiplied. 70. One namaz to 70. Jummah namaz, you're coming in, one step you're taking in, 1 year tahajjud, 1 year's roza. Just a little bit additional care you've taken, Allah Ta'ala rewards you so much. So he says, Asbighil wudu, see that your wudu is right. Because that's the key to namaz. If that is right, then you will get all the anwarat, the barakat of namaz. And number two, he says to him, Wabaligh, see that you gargle your mouth, you cleanse your nose correctly. Do it nice, properly. A person is in roza, so he can't gargle right through. He can't push the water right through a piece of nostrils, right? He will do it a little bit mildly so that the water doesn't go up. But other than that, you must ensure that the gargling is done right and the washing of the nostril is right. Now, this is a delegation that came. They're so impressed with everything. One sitting. Man has to talk about his personal things, about his wife and relationship, etc. It would have not been possible if he did not build up that type of love for Nabi Sallam. And that love was also partly because, or greatly because, of the personality of Nabi Sallam and the love, the compassion, the care that he had shown. Now this is about the most important ingredients of Islam. His love, muhabbat. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا As the hadith says, your iman is incomplete unless and until you show mutual love. Simple things, make salam, take the person, feed the person, join up relationship. You want to go and visit everywhere, right? You want to go to this park here and whatever else, right? But in the process of going somewhere, meet one relative, someone is at the hospital, go and meet him, someone from Kabristan nearby, go to the Kabristan, show some love, show some attention. You will be in that position one day, and you will also appreciate someone coming to visit you. You're old, you're aged, and you can't go about. But if you kept that practice that you used to visit some relative, some old person, some aged person, then your children and your dependents, when you have aged, you will also keep up that custom. And overall, this then generates that muhabbat of Islam. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasul Kareem wa alihi wa sahabi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين